Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Today is November 4th, 2012. I say again, welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Tonight's show is very positive. I'm sure you have looked at the eBlock, looked at the website and seen what it's about. It's children born with unrecognized special spiritual powers. We don't know. There's some of us who don't know a lot about this, but you're in luck, family. We're blessed to have Sister Yaya Feeney, who is very knowledgeable about this. So I would like to say at this time, welcome Yaya Feeney. But before you come on, let me tell you a little bit about her. If you don't know about her, or if I miss any or leave anything out, you can always go to her website, www.yayafeeney.com. That's www.yayafeeney.com. Yaya Feeney is a spiritual consultant. She is a priestess. She has written a wonderful book, Meaningful Mondays, and actually in about 6 months or so, she'll have a children's book coming out as well. There is so much to say about her, about her teachings, her knowledge. Later on, I'll get into more things about her, but there are several things that she is working on and classes that she's teaching. Later on during the show, I will bring you those announcements. At this time, I would like to welcome Yaya Feeney and ask her if she could lead us in a meditation. Yaya Feeney, welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you very much, Ruby. As usual, on time and on point. Thank you so much. I really give honor and thanks for us being here together and working together. And so let's just go into a little brief meditation to get us centered. Okay. Just know that you're safe wherever you are. Have yourself seated in a very comfortable position. And if you're driving, don't close your eyes, of course. But because I know some people are actually driving, a couple of people called and said they would be listening to it on audio. I mean, on the call, in the car. So just relax. Know that you're safe. Close your eyes. And let's get ready to meditate. I want you to take a nice deep breath and let it out nice and slow. Another cleansing breath, deeply through the nostrils and letting it out through the nostrils as well. Again, another third cleansing breath. And let that out. And now I want you to just visualize yourself seated at the ocean. You're the only one there, and you can see the foam at your feet, and you can hear the waves coming in, calmly coming in. And you're connected to the universe, you're connected to Yemonja. You're connected to the divine healing power of the ocean. And just visualize yourself enjoying that. Seeing the seagulls flying overhead. Feeling a nice warm breeze. And just centering on the little happy child that you were as a kid. Who you were. Your happiest moment. Your happiest time. And have that child sit on your lap. Smile at her. Embrace her, hug her tightly. Give her a nice kiss, or give him a nice kiss on the cheek. Embrace, hug, and feel the connection to the Divine Mother as well as you, the Divine Child. Yemanja Fesu, Afesu Yemanja, Yemanja Fesu, Afesu Yami, Yemanja Olodo, Olodo Yemanja, Yemanja Olodo. O Lodo Iami, Yemanja Fetu, Afetu Yemanja, Yemanja Fetu, Afetu Yemanja, Yemanja O Lodo, O Lodo Iami. I want you to know that you're safe. Allow the feelings of calm, of connection to your child, to you, be a reminder that you are powerful, you are mighty, and you are the attractor of all the divine powers of the universe. Ashe. Okay, open your eyes. Open your eyes and come back to this place. Wiggle your fingers and toes. And welcome back.
Great. I thought I had missed you saying open your eyes. I was so into it. I sort of jumped too fast there. Yes, this is. I love it. I love the meditation. You know, it gives you a chance to relax and to just truly unwind and just let yourself go. I love the meditation. I love it when you do that. Okay, family, I would like to say thank you, Sister Yaya Feeney, for doing that for us. As I said, tonight's show is Children Born with Unrecognized Special Spiritual Powers. We posted on the Blog Talk station and on Sister Yaya Feeney's website several questions that we are going to speak on tonight. And also, I hope you read it, but we have a special offer that falls in line with Yaya Feeney's spirituality. So I will speak on that. But let me list the questions so you could think about them as we're talking. And family, don't forget to call in or join us in the chat room. The call-in number is 310-742-1887. That's 310-742-1887. 1-888-787. So here are some of the things that, well, here are the things that she's going to touch on, but there's several more that we will touch on as time goes on for on this segment. One, children who feel, hear, or see spirit. Children born with the coil or membrane over their faces have special powers. Children who lost their twin sibling at birth. And children who are considered strange, weird, or special by their friends and family. Okay. Yafini, you want to get started?
Yes, definitely. Well, I want to thank everyone for, of course, joining our radio program last week. Last month we had a program that was very powerful and about children. And how to encourage them to reading and how to support their interest in reading, as well as how to address some of the needs of children with special needs. And that from that show, questions were emailed to me asking me, can we cover a little more in detail about children, not only with special needs, but children with special gifts. And so that's why we went ahead and arranged for this show. So thank you for coming on. I hope that this will give you an opportunity for you to kind of make sense of not only your children, and sometimes the case may be of yourself, because we were children at one time that perhaps had those gifts and were unrecognized. And so today's segment is, of course, as we said, was tapping into some of the things that traditionally we would view as special, or something that would be considered a gift from the Creator. And so living in the West, or understanding life from a Western perspective, a lot of these things are considered superstition, old wives' tales, foolishness. There's no diagnosis for it or any documentation for it. And so that's why I was personally interested in it, because I was one of those children that were considered special, and in that I could see things and say things and knew things just coming out, popping out of my mouth. With me, it wasn't that I saw it most of the time. With me, it was just like a consciousness that just came out and just blurted it out, and the things would happen. And so after a while, it was considered either you could look at it as a blessing or you could look at it as a curse, because being raised in a Christian church, you know, they used to do prayers and say that I was connected to the devil and all types of things. And so it took me many years of being able to embrace and to find a path that could celebrate, but also give me insight as to the fact that I was not alone and I was not the only person like that. And so that's why today I'm so honored and happy to be able to share some of the information that I have that perhaps can give you some clarity and help you to address some of the needs of the children. The first one that we had was addressing children who are considered strange. Is that what was the first one?
Yes. Yeah. The first one was children who feel, hear, or see spirits.
Okay. As children, you know, I don't know, whatever belief system you have, you must believe that children, or I mean a newborn, is returning from the spirit world or coming from a realm different than ours. Even if you want to just say that the child is just an extension of you or the parent. But when you look deeper into some of the personality of children, how they can have personalities, gifts, talents, expressions of relatives who they never met and will perhaps never meet because they're deceased. And so when you see children who have those abilities, you have to connect to some kind of realm that they're connected to the divine source, or they're connected to ancestral spirit, to a realm that is right here on earth, but it's not on the same manifestation as flesh. And so when we look at the Ifa, Yoruba, Lukumi understanding of spirit, you recognize that we are all spirit and body. We are all connected to the divine through the breath. And through the spirit that lives in us of God, it reincarnates. It has the opportunity to come back over and over. And the body is the carrier of the spirit. And when that leaves, the spirit then chooses or is affixed a new body to come and sometimes complete some task or just to enjoy or to receive more enlightenment and awareness for their own elevation of spirit. And spirit, there are different levels of spirits. And I'm doing a class on mediumship that Ruby will talk about. And in that, it allows us to connect to the realms of spirit, that there are spirits who are ancient spirits, there are spirits who are the energies of political energies. We have spiritual guides. We have protective energies. We have ancestors. And we have spirits who abide on the realms that they are not completely at rest. And so when you have children and when we as adults hear things, you may see something that you think you saw a shadow. When you look, you didn't see anything. Or you could see a form and you think it's your eyes are playing tricks on you. Or sometimes you're in a conversation with someone and you will hear something about the person that you're afraid or hesitant to speak. Or when you smell an odor that is not in the room. Or when you hear or feel things in your house shaking or moving and you know there's no one else there. Unfortunately, through television, we want to be to think that the core belief system should come from Poltergeist or those types of really freaky movies that make you think that everything from the world that we don't see is negative versus something that we could see, like the movie Ghost, where spirits have the ability to come and connect to loved ones. And when they connect to us, we begin to feel the emotion or the connection to them. Sometimes they say things to us, sometimes we feel them. And one of the ways that allow us to sense on the very base level or basic level of connecting to spirit is when we get goose pimples. We can get a goose pimple from a conversation. We can get goose pimple from being in a room, walking into a room. We can get a goose pimple by a thought. Those are our energies that we're bringing into closer proximity to us. And so when we have children who see spirit, it's unfortunate sometimes that we believe that when a child tells us that I can't sleep with the light off, because we want to sleep, we tell them that it's nonsense and we don't want to put on the light, and they see forms, and in the dark, they become more expansive to and more receptive to the things that's going on around them on the realm that's not physical. That's unfortunate because children know exactly what it is and how it is that makes them feel centered, loved, and appreciated. So if you have a child that's saying to you, please leave the light on, get a nightlight. The night terrors the children have, sometimes it's because the energy or the space that they're sleeping in may need to be changed. We had a workshop at my office last month on feng shui and how to change the energy in a room with just a plant. By just putting a plant in the room, you're able to shift it. By putting something live like a fish. Many cultures are aware of this and allow themselves to feel it, to embrace it, and to see the difference. So experiment, study, learn, open your spirit and your mind to new things and not lock it to the belief that if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. And so for those who have children who are telling you, I see something, or they're speaking to a play friend, or they're telling you that they smell something, or they can describe something to you that you don't know, embrace it. Embrace it, because in the Yoruba, Ifa, Lukumi system, we believe that the ancestors come back to us in the form of children. And if they just left the spirit world, they have conversations for us. That's why we recommend and ascribe to the belief that when a child is born, that it is appropriate to do a divination or a consultation, a reading, so that we can know exactly what are the talents, what are the gifts that this child is bringing for the family, and what is it that the family has to be open to receive. And so everyone will be on the same vibe, on the same energy, the same understanding, and then the family will grow and be happy and be contented in that they'll be finding, both the giver and the receiver will find a place where they can come together and appreciate each other. And so for those children that are hearing things, seeing things, feeling things, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it, because failure to do that, it leads the children to feel that there's something wrong with them, and then it can sometimes lead them to trying drugs or being diagnosed to be put on drugs so that these things will not continue to be. And so the children go into a stupor where they're not able to, and mind you, I'm not saying that all cases are like that. You should investigate it before you allow the doctors or Western medicine to put your child on medication, because they continue to say that they're seeing things. Sometimes it is physical. It could be something like bipolar. That means it's a chemical imbalance, that there needs to be some type of balancing energy by herbs and by plants and by medicine. But we are speaking of children who have not been diagnosed, but they say to you or to the parent, to the caregiver, that they see things or they move things. Those are the people that we are addressing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not ascribing that all children that are speaking about spirits are just on this level. And so I needed to say that first. And then in terms of our children feeling safe and loved by us, the first time that your child says something to you like that, even if you're freaked out, at some point, whatever is your poker face, put that poker face on and immediately start seeking information that would be able to deal with it. Because if the first time you're told, your child or the child tells you that, you say, oh, my God, you must be a witch. There's nothing happening. Right there, you tell the child that there's something wrong with them, and then they're going to survival mode. Survival mode may mean they will never mention it again, but they'll be freaked out and terrorized when they're different places. They may tell a child, another friend, and the friend may tell the parent, and next thing you know, they start saying that they don't want your child with them. So it could start a whole thing. I would say put your poker face on and then get some information and connect. Connect to exactly what the situation is going on. I have a book called Household Guide for Yoga Spiritual Wellness. It's a little booklet that you can order on my website, and it gives you information on how to honor your ancestors. Honor by pouring a libation, by asking your ancestors for guidance, or just praying. And if that's not your belief system, that's fine. But the book gives you a little explanation and some tools that you could use when you're thinking about your grandmother or an ancestor or your great-grandfather, and you feel a connection to them and a longing, and you pray for their spirit, and you ask them to come and to help you resolve an issue. That's ancestral celebration. So if you don't feel comfortable with pouring a libation, just know that your ancestors live. The fact that you can get a DNA test and know that 99% you're not somebody's child and 99% that you are, that means that they're still abiding in you. You still have a connection on a cellular level to the deceased. And so when you can take a piece of hair or nail or tissue from a cadaver and also trace and track the DNA, so that in itself is scientific proof that the ancestors knew that after you pass, your essence remains with your descendants. And so to connect to your ancestors is not something strange, weird, hocus pocus. It is a vehicle for you to connect to your ancestral genius, to the power of the ancestors that allowed you to walk this earth. all over Washington, D.C., we have ancestral monuments. And people spend time, energy, money to come and honor it and stand at the feet of these monuments. That's ancestral celebration. When the words of the ancestors in Washington, D.C., the deceased priests, when their words are mentioned in the defense of a law or to pass a bill, that's ancestral reverence. And so it's all around us. Cultures do it without explanation, without any apology. It is your right to honor your belief system the way that you do. When you go into an Oriental or Asian restaurant, you always find fish. That's feng shui. That's to keep the energy of the door flowing with money. And when you go to a Thai restaurant, you will see an ancestor altar, giving thanks to the ancestors that labored and gave them the potential, the ability to come to America and set up a restaurant. When you go to Vietnamese, you will also see them over the door. Their cultures, if you go into a botanica, you will find ancestor shrines at the door, welcoming you as well as making sure that the things that you came here to purchase will connect you to always returning there. And so there's no explanation or apology needed when you want to think and embrace your ancestors, because your children are the voice of the latest ancestor that came. So that's what I wanted to say on the children who hear and see voices. So if you have anyone that wants to call in and ask before we go to the next three topics.
Yes, I actually have two callers on the line who have been waiting patiently with questions. Caller 714-586, I'm going to bring your mic up, and you can speak. You're on Yaya Feeney, on the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for my call. Thank you.
Welcome.
You're very welcome.
I have a question. My daughter, I was reading the disclaimer, or I was reading their little notes, and it seemed like she had, like, all those little special things. And through her years, she's been having, like, special, she would see things. People would come up to her and give her things. She went to like a spiritual wellness like a retreat in Oregon, and a lady who read tarot cards actually pulled her and read her cards, and she was so like enlightened by my daughter that she actually gave her tarot cards because she wanted her to read people's tarot cards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when she was younger, she actually, when she was in like a little kid, she'll see these spirits and loved ones and things like that. But we thought she was just a little kid, and then everybody was making fun of her. And in high school, she actually was spending the night with her girlfriend, and didn't know her girlfriend's real mother died of cancer. And she spent the night at her house. It was just her and her friend. And when she took a shower, she ran to the room and said, "Oh, your mom's here." And her friend goes, "No, nobody's here." And my daughter goes, "I saw somebody skinny and tall with something around her head. And she's kind of pale, you know, in the corner when I was running to your room after she was out of the shower." And she said, "No, my real mom died of cancer, and she always wore something on her head because of the chemotherapy." So then she started crying. I guess her friend started crying. And then a couple years after that, and this is after my daughter, started going to, I think she was a senior in high school at that time, right before she graduated. Mm-hmm. She went, you know how kids are, she went to like a dad's place or whatever the kids do. And she said all of a sudden, in the dark place where they were dancing, everything was white. And she saw her friend's mother again, and her friend's mother said, "Oh, tell her everything will be okay." And my daughter was, like, scared. And then she said it happened to her again. That night, her friend tried to commit suicide. And my daughter said, "Your mom came to me again and said everything's going to be okay." So my question is, my daughter's kind of scared. She's trying to block her eyes because she's kind of scared of seeing these things and thinking. But she'll read tarot cards, though. I was wondering, do you have like a crystal or a gem that I can give her to help her with her, if she has psychic powers and to like build up on it?
Yes, amethyst is very good. If she could use that, that would help her tremendously. You could put that under her bed. She could put it under her mattress, under her pillow. And,
mm-hmm.
Yes, this child, how old is she now?
She's actually 21. She's a senior in college. She wants to be an anthropologist to help people know about people's cultures and spirituals and religions all over the world. She wants to go to Africa.
Good. Very, very good. That's wonderful because the ancestors that walk with her are so powerful that, you see that some of us, all of us come back with light. All of us come back with energy. All of us come back with Ashe. Some are brighter than others. Those that are very bright will have the gifts and the talents and will hear them and will follow them and will follow their insight and their intuition. Your child
mm-hmm.
has a very powerful light in that not only is she aware of the fact that she has it, but she is listening to those enlightened beings that are going to allow her to be in a field that she will be able to connect to the value of what she has. And not only is she going to connect to it for herself, but it's to also teach and to help others. That
mm-hmm.
is very, very, very powerful.
Oh, she told me, "Mommy, I want to help people who have different kind of religions and different beliefs because of the culture. And not that they're crazy, is that that's what they need. And I want to work with a psychiatrist and psychologist to work with these people so they don't give them these medications."
Right.
She shouldn't believe in too much medications unless you really need it. But she said that just because you have a different belief of something doesn't mean that the cure is medication.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why you're affirming exactly what we're saying here, is that she is so in tune with the spirits that walk with her and support her on this incarnation and this journey. That's why she is okay with it. That's why she is
mm-hmm.
accepting it. And obviously it's because she is being raised by a mother whose mind is receptive and open to it. So the connection that you have to your child, your child's enlightened spirits allowed her to choose you to be the person to raise her. Because worst-case scenario, if you were a different type of parent and you were coming from a clinical perspective, by now she would be on the psychotic drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a connection between you and her. The gift that you have is that you are able to carry her. The gift that she has is that you're able to support her. So that's what, and allow her to use whatever vehicle it is that she can use. If it's tarot cards, if it's
mm-hmm.
Teaching, if it's going to the sea, if it's whatever it is. But she is so grounded and such
mm-hmm.
a high elevation of vibration that the spirits will come to her in a gentle way. and not frighten her and dispel her, because she's very grounded in this life path. So give thanks for that.
She was talking about energy. She was telling me about energy. She could feel people if they're good or bad. And I'm like going, oh, she's talking about energy.
And so your child is one of the billion of children who are able to speak to their parent about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to speak to my parent. Yeah, yeah, very open. And that's why she feels safe to help her friends and to help them in whichever way. So, you know, blessings to you and blessings to her, and knowing that all that she came on earth to do and you with her will be so. I give thanks, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing that, because you said so much of everything that I'm sure the people who are listening are thinking and wanted to say. So thank you so very, very much.
So Amethyst, that crystal is good for her? Amethyst?
Yes. Yes. And also,
okay.
Yeah, tell her to also use the rose quartz. That will also help her in finding the joy and the contentment in her work.
Okay, caller, I would like to say thank you very much for calling in. We have two other calls on the line. Caller 718-735, I'm bringing your mic up. Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Your question or comment? Hello? Caller 718-735, you're on the air.
Could that be me?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
718?
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Very, very clearly.
Okay. I didn't know whether or not it was me, because I'm looking to see what number am I. Good evening. It is finally good to hear your voice. My name is Lisa White. And I am calling in because not only do I believe that I have that gift, I know I have that gift, and I also believe my grandson, who in some way I believe is my grandmother reincarnated, came back. Oh. He is now seven years old, and just the things that he does. And as you shared with us, your guest on in the initial state about the light, keeping the light on, that's one of the things that he often says is that he needs the light to be on. So we always make sure that there's a little night light to guide him as he rests so that he could get a better nap. But one of the things that I'm happy that you shared with me, that a little plant or a fish can also do some kind of changes within the room to elevate the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely I am going to incorporate that. For some apparent
reason. Put the plant somewhere that you have an opening, like if you have a fireplace or a window or something like that, to change the chi or to change the energy, to block anything from just coming in, put it by the plant, by the window.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I will do that, because I have plants in all the other rooms now. He does not live with me. He comes by from time to time and stay in the room. So definitely I'm going to get a plant for that room.
Get a plant that has round leaves, not something with daggers, nothing that looks like a knife, that has a sharp edge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, something round. It's round.
Oh, okay. What's the difference between that and the pointy ones? Because I have the pointy ones in the living room.
Yes, the pointy ones, if you want them, you put them at your door for protection.
Okay.
Yeah, to protect you like a knife, like a weapon.
Yes.
But you don't want
that
where you're sleeping. You want something with rounded leaves.
Okay. Now, I normally keep the Allegra by the front door, like behind the door.
Mm-hmm.
That, so you're saying I can also, although a leg was at the door, I can incorporate that kind of plant next
right.
to where Allegra is at?
Right, because he's a protector. That's the reason he's at your door.
Right. Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, so you put that there to add to the mystery, to add
right.
to the specialness, to add to the sacred.
Okay, now I keep also the jade plant there, but from time to time I move it to the sunlight so it can get some sun, then I move it back there to the
mm-hmm.
by the door.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's
okay.
fine. But get your grandson a nice round, luscious, nice plant with round leaves. There's a plant that's called the prayer plant.
Really?
Yes. There's a prayer plant that when at night it closes up. I will take
wow.
a picture and I'll take a picture. Are you on Facebook?
Remember, I told you I'm not on Facebook, but I'll email you and you could probably take a picture
yes.
of it, send
and
it
I'll
to
take
me.
A picture. Right, I'll take a picture and send it to you.
Oh, okay.
Sounds and they're very, very popular. And at night, when the light is off, they kind
yes.
of close up. And then in
wow.
the daytime, in the sunlight, they open up. But if you have artificial light, they'll always be open. But if you have a room that is dark at some times of the day, you'll see them. They'll pray. They'll come to prayer. I'll share that with everyone.
Okay. Well, I greatly appreciate that because I've never heard of that kind
mm-hmm.
of plant.
And it's very popular. When you see it, you'll be like, "Oh, so that's a prayer plant." Uh-huh. You see it. Yeah. I don't know what's the Latin name for it.
Right.
But that's what it is. Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, and thank you for taking my call. I greatly appreciate you, and thank you so much for all that you've done for the community. We greatly appreciate you, and many successes and blessings be unto you, your business, and in your life overall.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And make sure that you sign up for my newsletter on my website.
Yes, I did.
Okay,
I'm
great,
fully
great.
Covered.
Okay, thank you so much, Lisa. Have a blessed
you,
day.
You also. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
You have another call as well, and someone in the chat room said that the book you mentioned is a really good book.
Pardon me?
The book that you mentioned, she says it's a wonderful book.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yes. Okay. Great. You have another caller. Caller 857-334. Welcome
Hi.
To the Ask Yaya Feeney Show.
Good afternoon, ladies. How are you?
Good
afternoon.
Yaya Feeney, I have a question. I am someone, I have always had a spiritual gift. I have always been connected to, I want to say, my ancestors since I was little. Hearing things, seeing things, having people come back and seeing visions, having dreams about people who have passed on. I can sit in a room with people, and if somebody's sick or if they're going to pass, I kind of have an idea, or I know when babies are coming. Like, it's always been weird, and for a very long time, I've suppressed this because I'm the only person that I know of in my family that has this capability, so I've suppressed it, and part of it has kind of spooked me out a little bit. But now I'm in a place where I'm ready to embrace it, but I don't want the ancestral world to give it to me all at once because
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of spoon-fed. How can I go about getting that without being overwhelmed? Because I've seen some pretty. I don't want to say creepy because it shouldn't be creepy, but some things that have scared me. So I just shut it down. But I know that I have it, and it was given to me for a reason. And I don't want to continue to act like I don't have it when I know that I do.
Right, because there's no choice. You can't have a choice like, okay, go away, la, 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 la. It doesn't go away like that.
The
first thing that I would recommend to you is to get, do you have any form of prayer or formal thing that you do to let your ancestors know, okay, this is the time that you can come?
I just talk to them. The way that I talk to you, I kind of just talk to them. If I'm in the
okay.
car, if I'm in the house, but I've asked them, if you guys have something to tell me, give it to me in a dream and give it to me a little by little. Don't, because before you guys just kicked open the door and it was too much for me. So just give it to
mm-hmm.
me little by little. And then when I said that, like especially a couple of weeks ago, I started having dreams about my mom. She's in spirit. So they'll give it to me in a little in dreams. But I just talk to them the way that I talk to you.
Okay, great. Well, then what I would recommend to you so that they don't get overwhelmed and say they bombard you and that is to get some type of, what would I say, a technique that you have that you know that you're ready for them. You have a place that you know, okay, right now I need you to come and manifest yourself and talk to me. And then you close it down and you say, okay, I am now going to the other room and have sex with my husband. I don't want you in there. I am going to work, and I don't want you while I'm trying to do something on the computer for you to start to talk to me. So that's what I asked you, if you had a place where you have focus and you can center them.
Oh.
That would help from them coming in and out, is because you have to educate your spirit to know that when it's safe, when you're welcoming them, and when they're not, and when they're a bother. And so the class that I'm having on mediumship, I think is next week, on the 9th, I think it is. Ruby will put it up for, will let us know. That class on mediumship can give you more information that this one broadcast would not perhaps be able to go into detail. But the one thing I would recommend to you is to have a place where you know that they are concentrated and you have it as a sacred space. And when you go to them, you go with that intention. It's to communicate and for them, and this is fine. Versus I'm driving down the highway and you're talking to me. I'm trying to have a conference and you're talking to me. I'm going in here with my mate. I'm going to a parent-teacher's meeting. And so that you have a curtain or a division between the worlds so that they don't become bombarded. You don't feel overwhelmed and just feel not scared but just exhausted.
Oh no, they don't talk to me anymore, because I heard it one time and that was it. I shut that down and I had to be like 7, 8. Now what they do is they just come in dreams.
Oh, okay, so they're still connecting with you. Well, that's great. You have a vehicle. They come to you in your dreams. So have you, are you doing any journaling with your dreams?
No. I mean, if it's an ancestor and they come through in a dream, I remember them. I don't forget them because of the reason why.
Okay, and why I was asking you about journaling, because when you journal, 10 months from now, you could look back and you can see the thread that led you to where you are.
Okay.
So when you journal, make sure that you can have a journal just for dreams and put the date, because sometimes there are puzzles that you can't see at that time. You may remember it for that moment, and then later on the situation comes up, and you can say, oh, my God, this is what this was about. It could be 2 years later, it could be 10 months, it could be next week. So that's what I would suggest, to you, so that you can kind of have, like, a place where you know is a sacred connection to the bigger world that you live in.
Okay.
But you are a medium, and allowing them to manifest is a blessing, because you know and I know and everyone that's listening that they have helped you more than they have harmed you. And the fact that you can talk about it, that's such a blessing. So just find some type of way that you can have a place where you know that you and them are in one accord, and so that they will continue to inspire you to use them and to help not only yourself but others from a very open place.
Okay. Is there a reason why some people, like in my family, sometimes you'll get like a grandmother or aunt, an older aunt, or somebody who has the gift, and when another young person comes, they can kind of coach them through that. I didn't get that. So for
sometimes you don't need that. Sometimes you don't need that. Sometimes you just need to know that your vehicle, your method. If you are an elevated spirit, like the lady I was talking before, the child did not have a guide to tell her to go into anthropology. Anthropology is about mysticism. It's about spirit. It's about digging out bones and digging out the world of the deceased. And no one told her that that would be what she would do. So if you are in a connected space to your spirit and you're enlightened to the degree where you don't need any classes or communications, that's fine. Have you seen, there's a new reality show called, I think it's called Psychic of Long Island or something?
Long Island Medium.
Yeah. She didn't go anywhere to study. She's just born with the ability. So you don't have to have a formal training to help yourself or to help others.
Okay.
The thing of it is, when we live in the West, we think that, you know, because there's not a class, Psychic 101, and when you go to high school, I mean when you go to college or when you go to high school, you don't have a class on social survival and spiritual survival. And we think that these things are light. And there are people just like you, millions of people who never talk about it and who resort to drugs, to cocaine, to let the voices stop because no one let them know that it was okay, that it was normal. And so for you, if you have a method, work with it. If it works, don't if it's not broken, don't try to change it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you are blessed and empowered. And as I said, my little book, Household Guide for Yoga Spiritual Wellness, gives a few little steps on things, as well as my Meaningful Monday book gives you some baths and things like that to send to you if you walk into a room and the spirit feel not as strong and or as fortified to take on some kind of situation at your workplace or in your home or with a friend and that kind of thing. So thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, caller. And I'm really glad that Minnie Feeney could answer your question. I have a couple of announcements, and then you have a couple of questions in the chat room, Yaya Feeney. Hopefully we'll get all four of the things tonight. Okay, if you may ask, where is Yaya Feeney? Her November-December calendar is up on her website, and that includes she's doing Oshun meditation with Reiki. That's November. There's a mediumship development session. That's the first one, number one, and that's on the 10th of November. There's sewing an African outfit. Wow, I need to be there for that. Too bad I live so far away. And that's November 17th. That's just to name a few. Later on during the program, I will let you know some other places, some other things that she's doing, the dates and things like that. But you can always go to her website, www.yayafeeney.com. Or if you have questions that you cannot get to while we're online or questions about where she's going to be, please email her at yayafeeney@bellsouth.net. And family, she also takes calls. Yes, you heard me correctly. She takes calls. That number is 1-888-419-5848. Again, 1-888-419-5848. So let's get to some of the questions here. One of the callers asked, can music assist these special children? If so, how?
What did you say?
Can music assist the special children?
Definitely. Music can assist them by meditation. When you do a calming meditation of water and things of nature, that can connect the child into feeling at home and connected to the inner voice of themselves. Definitely calming music, things that are going to put them in a state where they're receptive. Definitely. And if they're having bad dreams, and that's a good to get a CD that just has like water running in the river or the sea. That's always very, very, very calming. I see here on the website someone is asking me to post a picture. I'm going to post it now. I posted it on my Fall Equinox page, but I'll post it on my general page. So I have a picture of the plant.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go to the next one.
Yes, and that next one is children born with coil or membrane over their faces have special powers.
Okay, that is, and the way that we spelled it was not correct, but, you know, it coil one, coil the other, is a call, C-A-U-L, or a veil.
Okay.
And what that is a thin membrane, and let me say first that today, many times if we have a C-section and we are sleeping or we're not in tune with what's going on around us at the birth, sometimes the membrane is removed by the doctor and not considered anything, just a membrane, and that's it. And they could write it on the chart, and sometimes they don't, because if it's not important to them, then, you know, it just goes without knowing. So the many beliefs hold that, you know, being born with a veil is a sign of special destiny and psychic abilities or good luck. You know, and through the years, you find people who, I know in Yoruba, Ifa, Lukubi system, we consider those children the children of Obatala automatically, because those are the children that are born with special gifts or some type of extra thing that is being given by nature. Just like children that are born with an extra finger, or that they're all Obatala's children. And so the call of the veil, which is the membranes, the filmy membrane that is remnants of the amniotic sac, and it partially covers the newborn's face. It's a membrane enclosed like a pouch. And so in childbirth, it is seen like it's slippery and slimy. There is a coating that comes over the head and the face. The call is harmless. And, you know, as I said, it's removed by the doctor or the midwife. And so those children are considered, they even have a term for them, it's called call bearers. And in medieval times, the call was looked at as the child would have greatness. And gathering the call on paper is the way that people will take it and then save it for years and years and years. I know, I've heard of people having the call of their child umbilical cord as well for years to use in different ceremonies and illnesses. And so it is seen that the child still has a connection, and what the veil is the part of the, when the child was coming back, their spirit and their body was encased in the mother and in that protective membrane. And so when the child is born and is removed, the child then comes into the world of breathing this air. But while the child is in utero, the child is connected to spirit. And that's why we do consultations and readings of women before they have the baby, while they're pregnant, so that you will know exactly some of the things that the mother and father and the home and the family may have to shift in the energy, because it may be affecting the baby or having some type of spiritual imbalance on the child. And so there are rituals and ceremonies that are done to the mother so that she does not have a child that is born in a toxic energy, I mean toxic membrane. And so you have a woman who's under a lot of stress, that is always worried, that is always crying. She passes that on. And so you have children that grow up to be adults and always feel like there's some type of anxiety hanging over them and depression, and they sometimes don't know where it's coming from. In consultations that I've done over the years, we're able to know that some of this you bring back from your maternal experience, from where you were held. The juices, the waters that held you, and that's why we encourage women who, when you're expecting, to have a life that is stress-free. Traditionally, in Yoruba / Lukumi Ifa practice, the social aspect of this culture would be the woman would go and stay with her mother. when she was pregnant so that she wouldn't have to do housework. She wouldn't have to have any kind of real drama with anything. The husband would come to the parents' house to visit, and they would go out on dates. They would do all the things that they would do. But the major responsibility of where she was and the baby was with her family, being nurtured. Unfortunately, we don't live in that type of society right now. And so it's very important for us to know that in holding the thing that holds the child, and when the child is born with it, the child still has the ability to cross from the spiritual to the physical world at any moment. And so those children usually have some type of connection to spirit where they see spirits vividly, they hear them, they can do intuitive visioning, intuitive writing, intuitive painting. They can describe, just like the young lady that was that the mother was speaking, that she can actually see a spirit in a shower. She saw a spirit. Those children have that ability because they live right there off the edge of the great ancestral world. And we don't believe that the ancestral world is up in heaven. The ancestral world is right here where we live. They just have a different form. We have a body. They have an energy. And so that energy, that essence, is what we interchange periodically throughout the day. And so children that are born with that, if you have a child or you yourself are born with that, they're usually be aware of association. They may be very, very sensitive, you know? And so, yes, very, very sensitive. They're able to pick up things very, very easily. And it's unfortunate because, as I said, sometimes when the child is born, the doctor may not think it's important and just take it off and just says, oh, yeah, well, this is just the membrane, part of the membrane, and they throw it away. But they don't throw it away. Quiet as it's kept. That membrane and the afterbirth and that's what is put into, they sell it and use it in different types of medicines for creams and lotions for longevity. And so it's not thrown away. And so you just take it, they just take it from the mother, and she doesn't know, and she never asks that if my child is born with a cold, because you're never even thinking of it. And sometimes they may say, oh, that's why it's stale, let's just sell it and throw it away. And so a lot of times we walking around here are seeing spirits and don't know that we have that particular gift and that particular blessing for our mothers. If we were born in a traditionally sterile environment, Eurocentric society, they never even thought to put it down on the thing because it wasn't that important. But they are very psychic. They have special gifts for healing and talents. And sometimes they have the ability to touch and to heal just by touch. But they are definitely, and they have a list of people who were born with coil on their face. Like Khalil Gibran is one of them that I heard, the great poet. And I think it was Alexander the Great or someone. But these children that are born with this in traditional societies, in Native American, in Asian cultures, in African cultures, they look at children who bring the opportunity of having their light so extended to the spirit world that they're treated especially well, because their mission on earth is to connect us and to keep us connected to the ancestors. And so that's what I would like to say in terms of that.
Oh, okay. You have a question. Would a premature child fall into the special category?
It depends on the prematurity in terms of if it was a situation that it's forced, because I know today people are having babies choosing C-sections, and it's like an epidemic, I know, in some down in South Florida, because women don't want to carry a child full term. Because they don't want to, and they don't want a vaginal birth. because they don't want their bodies to be changed that dramatically. Yes, that is scandalous, but that's true. But if it's a child that it comes prematurely because of just natural ability, yes, that counts as a child that is specially sent.
Oh, okay. Okay, I don't see any more questions. So I think we should go to number three. Is that okay? Let me see. This one says 7 months placenta previa, P-R-E-V-I-A.
Meaning?
That's all it says. I guess they're explaining to you the prematureness of the child.
Oh, okay, okay, yes, yes. Because that child was 2 months short of full term. Yes, that child is a child of Obatala as well.
Okay, okay, so...
And for those who are listening, I have posted the picture of the prayer plant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my daughter had one here, and so I took it because I'm in San Francisco.
Oh.
Yeah, I have one in my house, and she has one in hers as well.
Okay. Okay. The next one, children who lost their twin sibling at birth.
Okay, twins. Let's just speak of twins before we even think about them losing. And the reason that I said that is so that we can be focused and mindful that there is a whole ceremony that goes on for children who have lost a twin at birth or even lost a twin after. There's a connection that's always there. And so in the Yoruba, Yo, Ifa, Lukumi understanding, in ancient Oyo, which was the capital of all of the Yoruba, initially twins were not accepted. And so usually one or both were allowed to die at birth. And that was back in, I guess, the ancient times. And so there's a short story that goes about Oshun, how she gave birth to the twins. And so Oshun gave birth while Shango was out at war. And when she returned to the city with two babies, people started to talk about her because they said, especially, we have never heard of a woman giving birth to two children on the same day by one man. And so Oya, who was, of course, according to the legend, Oshun and Oya were always, they were wives, school wives, and they were always at each other. So Oya, who she was competing for Shango's attention, she convinced Oshun that it was impossible for her to do so. So that Oshun began, you know, she wouldn't tell Shango that she had the baby when he came back because he had lost the war and he was so upset. And so Oshun decided to abandon the children and she left them by the river. And so Oya took the baby. Someone was calling. Oya took the baby and so and followed her and took the children, thinking that she could use this as a weapon against Oshun when Shango came back. And so things, of course, got sour. And the war, Shango came back and he had lost the battle, so he was very upset. So Shango, when he returned, very upset. To top it off, you know, the news about a baby was... twins was not going to be something that he could, you know, welcome. So Oshun was depressed and saddened. And Oya was not able to deal with the responsibility of the twins, so she went and left them with Yemonja. And so she told Yemonja that these children were really Oshun's. And so as the time passed, Oshun couldn't have any children. And so because she couldn't have any more children after the twins. And so things started getting really sour in the empire in Oyo. And so she went for a reading, and in the reading, the story came up, and they told her to do a ritual, and so she became pregnant again, and that baby is called Idowu. And so in traditional Yoruba, the child that follows twins is also a very special gift because it brings back balance. And so the name that is given to the twin the twins are Kehinde and Taiwo. And unlike in the West, where a child that's a twin, the one that comes out first is considered the oldest, in Yoruba tradition, the oldest one stays back. So Kehinde calls on his elder status to send Taiwo out of the womb first, so the older one stays in longer. So the baby that comes out first is the younger, and that one is called Taiwo, which meaning having the first taste of the world. And he acts like a lookout. And then he signals to his twin to join him, you know, upon the approval of their surroundings by crying. So once this first baby comes out and starts crying, then the second baby comes, and that's the oldest one, because he's the one that allowed his older sibling to come. So it's a beautiful story. And so to get back to the story, eventually Shango, who visited Yemonja often, saw these children, and he just fell in love with the twins. He said, oh my God, they're so beautiful, they're brilliant. And then one day, Yemonja, being the mother, she told him the story. And from that day, twins were no longer looked at something strange and weird in Yoruba land. So I wanted to give that little story because most of the tradition Yoruba, we have a Patekia stories to kind of help us, to let us understand that everything that comes to us is a blessing. And so with twins, children that are twins, they have, if they are identical twins or not, they have a connection with each other. They're like a double soul. And so the twin is considered like a divine being. And so the connection that they have, and now you see they have programs and groups and societies and organizations that support twins. But traditionally, in ancient, in Native American, African, Asian cultures, and most cultures of ancient times that have still embraced their traditional values hold twins in the same regard. Children are regarded as, the twins are considered the yin and yang, or the potential for good or evil, the potential for balance, the potential of the universe always having coming in twos. And so when that happens, the entire town, the entire community, the world is welcome. And so the mother of twins has always given gifts and that to keep the twin spirits happy, to keep the energy that sent them to the universe, letting them know that we are grateful to have them. And so after a twin birth, the priest, after the three days of birth, the children are given their reading, their name is Teiwo and Kehinde, and of course, the energy of the community supported. Today, we see programs where twins think alike. One could start a sentence and the other one finish it. And that's not because they practice it. That is because the human mother of twins is the surrogate for God, in that both children being the balance of positive and negative, yes and no, up and down, that is like God in its manifestation on earth. So when you lose a twin, it's like part of your arm is gone. Part of your support is gone. And so there is not an Orisha that we celebrate or call Ibeji, but it's actually a statue that is made when the child passes, that the other twin mm-hmm. keeps that in a place where it's always honored. And so the mother, if she loses a twin, she would put little scraps of food and that to the twin, to the carving of the other child. Because if the child is not on earth, it doesn't mean that the child does not exist in the spirit world. And so the twin brother or sister that remain have that connection to them. And so that's one of the things that you'll see whenever you look up Yoruba, you'll see so many carvings of twins, because it's says that the Yoruba people of all the people of the world have the most twins births. And so in the death of a twin, ceremonies are done to the carving that is done that represents the twin that did not make it. And so throughout the time of the life of the two living twins, he would always or she would always mention her twin or her taiwa or her kahinde, whichever it is, and they would have parties together. They would have the family would still call on the child spirit. It's not like the child is not there since deceased. The child would have a special place in the bedroom of the mother, and as the child grew up, then the child would have that as a place where he could connect to his spiritual sibling, and they could talk. They could do rituals together of celebration, of assisting them to walking on earth, to be able to allow the other twin to be a go-between between the physical and the spiritual world. So that's what makes twins so special. But the death of twins, it's, of course, a very unhappy situation, but the Yoruba have figured out a way to also keep the reality of the fact that the mother carried both of them at the same time, and their connection is it's beyond just the physical realm. So I wanted to share that.
Okay, in the chat room, someone said, Yeye Fini, my God, thank you. You just explained something important to me. I am a child of Obatala.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, she was just giving thanks, and she was saying that she was the child of Obatala, so maybe she has some special thing. Anything, any child, anyone that that has anything that places them in a place of specialness, they are the children of Obatala.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they're the children of Obatala. And so when people are trying to figure out, and for those who know this culture, and I try to keep the show not so much just on Yoruba, because we have people who are listeners that don't understand what it is that we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to keep it just brief. But for those who are listening in, when you're going to find out who is your Orisha, who is your governing spirit, who is your archetype, for lack of a better word, what Orisha is your manifestation, those are the things that are supposed to be asked by the person that is doing the reading. Do you have any special things that would dictate you are a child of Obatala? And if you don't know, they'll ask you, you know, are you a twin? Were you born with a cord? Do you have any different fingers, arms? Or do you have a special limb, something? Those automatically, a knowledgeable priest would ask those things before you automatically start going down and asking if the child is whoever that's in the Odu. So that was just a sidebar. So thank you very much for that. I'm glad that I was able to answer some questions.
That's good. That's good. Okay, family, let's talk a little bit more about Yeye Fini and the different things that she's doing and the services that she offers. I would like to talk a little bit about, she has a mediumship development class. And as I stated before, everything that I'm telling you about her, you can find on the website, on her website, www.yeyefini.com. She has a mediumship development class that, let's see, it's on Saturday, November 10th. 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's session number one. There, she also has a session number two in December, and so on and so forth. As I said, you can always go on her website and check these things out. She has a vegan raw live food class, November 18th, another class I'm going to miss. Okay, here we are. This is where I fit in, dating for women who are 50 plus. That's my category. So I'm going to have to try to be in on that. And that's November 25th. And as I stated, the mediumship development session. Also, please check out her website for her book, Meaningful Monday, and also for, you know, she has soaps, lotions, and different things that she makes, all natural. These products are heavenly, to say the least. You have to go on her website and look at everything that she has, all of the services that she provides, the classes, anything, any type of spiritual consultation. She does weddings. There's just so many things that I could tell you about her. And I'm going to actually go back to that in just a couple of minutes. Right now, Sister J. Feeney, do you want to take the next question, or should
I? Just let me say something. On those classes that we're having, the one on dating, we have an expert. When you go on the website, you'll see a website, my website. We have an expert that does this particular, she has a blog. She's very good. And she's going to be the one that's presenting this workshop at my office, as well as the live food one. That's going to be presented also at my office. I also have a list of classes for priests that are by invitation only, and we also have a number of classes coming up for Aborisha, or people who are worshipers in this faith, and want more information on different aspects of this religion. How do you follow your path? How do you find a godparent? How do you perform different rituals and that for yourself? Those kinds of things. So I think it's very powerful. So just keep looking at my website. And, of course, friend, request me if you are on Facebook, and as well as join my mailing list, and in there we'll be giving you some more information. So thank you for that. I'm ready for the next question.
Before you do that, let me mention, as I mentioned earlier, J.F. Feeney has a special offer. Okay, so here it is, family. And as with all of our shows, if there's any information that you missed, please remember all of the shows are archived. You can always go back to Blog Talk Radio and listen. And if this information is not for you, pass it on to someone you think may benefit from it. Our call-in number is 310-742-1887. Again, 310-742-1887. And you have to press the number 1 in order to be on the air.
Yes.
Okay, let's get back to the special offer. Okay, Yaya Feeney is offering an opportunity to receive a one-hour spiritual reading or counseling session. Okay, this session is normally $75 an hour. For the first 10 people who sign up for the family or children reading during the month of November, the session is only $30. That's a really, really special offer, okay?
I'm doing that so that people who have children who are families that are having challenges, that they can take advantage of this opportunity so that they can get some clarity. So that's why I'm doing this. It's my way of giving back to the community.
Okay. All right, family. You heard it here. I suggest, as it says, the first 10 people who sign up, and I'm sure, who knows, maybe we're already
on
the spot.
Yeah, we have, we've had people signing up all week once I put that up. So
ever since it went out, you know, it goes viral once it hits
social media. It really did.
Yes. Okay, now. Children who are considered strange, weird, or special by their friends and family.
Okay. We have children who, as we said at the beginning, that connect to spirit so much because they're more enlightened a lot of times than most of the people that they are around. And so because of our own ignorance, we sometimes put them in a place where they have to hide. And you can't hide spirit. It will manifest in some other way. And so when we have children who perhaps talk to themselves, sing to themselves, hum to themselves, collect rocks, have types of play friends that no one knows about, and things like that, that is a call to action. That is a call to get involved. That is a call for you to acknowledge that this child is here to help you and not the way around. This child is here to guide you and to help you to understand their specialness and to embrace it. And their other friends may call them weird. You have children who are born physically male and have a female soul or energy, and they want to dress differently. You have children who are, for their age, an old soul that act older.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just take it for granted and assume that because they act older, they are older, and we give them more responsibility than is required, and we rob them of their childhood. And sometimes we have children who are decide that they don't want to fit the same mold as everybody else. And so in school and that, they may not want to dress in the latest fashion. They could wear flowers, stripes, a bow in their hair, a ribbon. The boy may decide he wants to wear high water pants. He wants to wear suspenders, whatever. That child is answering to the spirit that is attracted to them, or that is close to them, or that is assisting them in maneuvering this new carnal world, this new flesh world. And so to encourage them to be who they are is the most important thing. Very, very, very important in that letting them know that they have value, number one, and that they come back with a blessing for you is number two. And number three is to encourage them to be selective as to what it is and who it is they want to consider their friends. And so that the peer pressure doesn't come where children are saying, well, he's strange, we don't want him at his birthday party, and the child then becomes depressed, introverted. You start educating yourself and exposing the child to different modalities, of different groups, different books, different organizations. But, of course, the parent would have to familiarize themselves with that first so that you will find a support system that will encourage that. Introduce meditation to your child's life. Everyone should have that. Introduce any type of game that's going to give your child confidence. Some may be soccer, some may be football, some may be chess, some may be golf, some may be a musical instrument. But always have something where the child's spirit can explore and feel free to be who it is they are, and to really be grounded in their own power. And so meditation is a must. If we could start our day with a meditation like I did earlier, or to get a guided meditation to allow your children to feel connected to the things that's going to happen. And then affirmation. Have some type of thing in your home that you have, like a game, that every day someone pulls a positive card and they read it. And you take 2 minutes to discuss it before they go out the door. It doesn't take that long. Just say, okay, what's going to be the cards that we use? And you pull those so that the children can have a connection that you know that you believe in spirit, and they can feel comfortable when their spirits are calling for some type of attention. Also, Definitely, I would recommend, and that's why I have this the special going on. If you feel connected to spirit, to the point where you want to investigate, find someone that can do a reading for you, a consultation. Do some type of exploratory thing. Get a numerology consultation for the child to know what are his strengths, what are their weaknesses. Get a feng shui workshop done, or get a book that can tell you the different parts of your room or the child's room, what colors to put in the room, what elements to put in the room to attract positive energy to them so they can feel safe in their room, and so that the computer does not become their best friend, but their best friend is themselves within, the spirit that live within them. It's the one that they listen to before they step out of their room. You can use also Reiki. There are Reiki techniques that you can use. Learn Reiki, which is the art of just using energy and you being a vehicle for the energy of the universe to heal and to center. And in using Reiki for parents, then you can use it for yourself to center you, as well as for your children to keep them grounded and not feeling so frazzled and confused. And so to allow Reiki, meditation, yoga. Yoga is a beautiful way of opening up the different aspects of your children's being. It's a powerful way of allowing everything that is connected to spirit to awaken. Yoga is a way of opening their psychic center, their spiritual energy, their chi, and force that is always spinning, to be able to really understand and to know that the things that they're feeling is normal for them. And the community that supports them and the life that they live is there to assist them in the things that they're doing in their life.
Oh. Wow. You know, one of the things that that's funny, you know, people say, you know, when I heard you talk about and different people have said about children who act old or seem old, you know, I have my three children and I watch them, and you know, my youngest just seems older than my older two. Why is that?
Because their spirit, their different vibrations. You know, each child is different. It's not a cookie cutter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a cookie cutter thing. So each one of them come back with a different type of energy, a different soul. And so even if you raise them exactly alike, just like with twins, if you raise twins exactly alike, dress them alike, feed them, they're going to be different individuals because they have different spirits that come with them, a different energy, a different number, a different vibration, a name. And so your children have their own spirit, their own energy, their own ability to really become who they're supposed to be by what it is that you tell them. What it is that you tell them that they are. So the fact that you recognize that they're both different, that's number one. When you recognize that they're different, you've just answered the biggest question. Not telling them, why can't you be like so-and-so? Because that shortchanges the child and make them think that there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've done the big thing. The big thing is to recognize that they're different and to embrace it. The question that you're asking is an answer that you already know. It's because they're completely different people. The expectations you have for one, it's completely different than the expectations you have for the other, because they have already showed you who they are.
Okay.
Is that correct?
That is correct. That is definitely correct.
They have shown me that. But yeah, I guess I am. I look at them and I always just assumed that maybe it was because, you know, he learned from the older children, and so that's why he has that older spirit,
that older mentality.
Mm-hmm. He's an old soul. He's been incarnated enough times to know that this too shall pass. And he don't freak out behind anything. He says, I'm good. I'm good. Well, the other one is like, oh, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So that's how you find people that's always in anxiety, anxiety that's always like, oh, my God, oh, what's up? That's a young spirit. One that's saying, I'm good. They've had enough incarnations to know that this too shall pass. They're so connected to their God self that it's like, I'm good.
Yes.
And you look to them for peace sometimes. You look to them like, well, how come you can be that calm in all of this?
That's true. That's true. Okay, yeah, I think it's time for another commercial break. Family, as I said before, you can always go and check out the Sister Yaya Feeney's store, where she has her book Meaningful Mondays. But also, family, it's on an ebook. It's available to instantly download as an ebook as well. And also, I told you about her the new product where making baths and spiritual washes. In the Meaningful Monday book, there are rituals that go along with each item, with everything that she's talking about. And sometimes it would be good to have some of these baths and washes, you know, the herbs and things like that to go along with it. And also, Teaching Tuesday, there's a DVD collection. Family, there's 5 volumes to this. And they can also be sold in bulk, which is nice. And as I told you before, the lotions are wonderful. And the ancient African wisdom cleansing incense lasts forever. I mean, not a lifetime, but I'm sure you understand what I mean when I say they last forever. And just go to shop online at yayafeeney.com and check it all out. Yaya Feeney, can you tell us a little bit about the IISK?
Mm-hmm. Surely. Well, IISK is my non-for-profit organization that we have classes, ongoing classes, lectures, workshops. And the classes are done by many of my students. And every year, twice a year, we have an SEW, a self-empowerment workshop, which is a 7-day retreat. Very, very powerful. And this is not a retreat where you come and sit and kumbaya and love. No, this is something that you dig deep. Dig deep to find the connection of some of the things that have been holding you back because of your own struggle with some of your familial pathology, abuse, molestation, abandonment, family, now they call it, what is it, family curse, family blessing.
Generational
curses. And so generational curses that exist. And so in this 7-day retreat, we start with classes. There are 8 basic classes that you must take first. And then once those classes are, and you begin the journey of the preparation for the SEW retreat, then there are 3 classes to support the planning and the getting ready for it. Very, very powerful. The first class is Introduction to African History. No, Introduction to African Sociology, I think it is. The second class is mine, but I don't even remember, right? The next one is Introduction to Ancestral Reverence. Then it's Introduction to Obi Divination introduction to meditation, introduction to yoga cosmology, introduction to the value of journaling. And with those classes, you set in place a new way of looking at your life, a new way of looking at your empowerment, a new way of embracing who you are and why you went through what you went through to the point where you are now. And so the main focus is to know who you are and whose you are. And so once you've done the classes, and the classes are done on Skype, they're done in person, they're done over the phone. We have four different cities that conduct the classes, and we have students that conduct the classes, teachers. And once you're finished with that and you get ready for the other classes, we have a support group that then start talking into the value of some of the experiences of your family. What's your family totem? What's your family history? What's the benefits? And what's the positives and the negatives of your family? And so this particular initiation was given to me by my ancestors. And I have done this now successfully for over 100 people. And that's a lot when you're dealing with really digging deeply and going into people's pain. And so for many, it's the first time that you will get possessed by your ancestors. And this is a vehicle that is used to heal not only you, but your ancestors and seven generations. So some of the things that we have inherited from our ancestors, some of the pain, some of the strength, some of the weaknesses, we then learn how to embrace it, how to use it, but also how to dispel of it, how to get rid of it. And all of the 7 days is steeped in ritual. There's not a lot of talking. Everything is about ritual. And so I use my years of studying in all types of modalities. I use Yoruba, Lukumi, Congo, Egyptian, Kemetic, Native American. I use all forms of honoring spirit and of opening the vortex. But the main vehicle that I use is as a practitioner of Ifa Yoruba Lukumi system. The ancestors have given me this sacred door that I can open, spiritually open the spiritual door to connect to each and every one of the participants so that they can overcome the things that have kept them sometimes frozen from moving forward, as well as frozen of not knowing what aspects of their path they can forgive, embrace, and use as a vehicle for teaching and healing themselves and their family. So it's a very, very powerful thing, and I know that this is one of the things that God has sent me here to do. And so we have one coming up in December. The people, any of the listeners, you are not able to be in the one in December, but you can in next year in June, because we've already started the process of locking down those people who are actually going through it. And so it's a very, very effective, cost-effective initiation. I used to do them in Jamaica, and I stopped once. When I moved back from Jamaica, I did it maybe 3 times in Jamaica. After that, I started doing it in the U.S. And so you're in a safe environment, clear of any kind of distraction. You're not allowed to have any kind of worry from outside. And so you're in a safe environment with my mediums and my priests, and all we do during that time is facilitate. And the cost of it includes your room and lodging, it includes your meals, and includes the initiation process. I do this at the fees that I use is because I wanted to be able to meet everyone. I know that I've been asked to raise the price over and over because it is something that is worth more. Each person, when they go through it, I always ask, did you think you got your, and they're like, oh, my God, there's no way could I pay for this. And so it seems very minimal, and people sometimes think that it's too cheap to be real. But I do it like that, and it has worked for me. And so it's $1,200 for the 7 days. You can do that by going on a vacation. But I do it like I do because this is my calling, and I do this as my way of giving back to the community. So if you're interested, if as anyone is interested in the SEW or the IISK retreat, the empowerment retreat, the self-empowerment workshop is what we call the initiation, you can go, you can email IISK2005@yahoo.com, and that will take you directly to the teachers. That's IISK2005@yahoo.com. Or you can just shoot me an email and I will get it to them. On my new website that's coming up that I'm fixing now as we speak, is going to be a new website. There will be a link there directly just for IISK. So we are working to make it easier to maneuver my website. I know it's been working, but it's time to upgrade. So I'm in the process of upgrading now. And so that's what the IISK is, the institute that we have ongoing classes, and there many of the people who are members of the institute are not necessarily my godchildren, but they are people who are invested in this yoga way of life, and some people just are clients that are institute members that are not even practitioners. They're just people who come to me periodically for counseling. So that's what the IISK family is about. And if you go on my website, you can see pictures of that of my last priesthood ordination anniversary, my 40th anniversary. You'll have pictures. You can see some of the members of the IISK there. So that's pretty much IISK.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Okay, now getting back to our topic, we have about 11 minutes or so. Now, do you have any suggestive techniques to use for enhancing your child's spiritual powers and helping to direct their destiny?
Can you read those for me? Because I don't have the, from what we had discussed.
Do you have any suggestions such as journaling or rites of passage to improve their family's perception of the spiritual power that the children have?
Okay, thank you. That was the one thing that I didn't say, because I talked about journaling. That's one of the things, I mean, but not for the children. That's one of the things that I find to be very, very useful. You know, as children, we used to have our diaries where we put who we liked and all of that and locked in the key, and our older brother would always find it.
Yeah.
That was what we were doing. We were journaling. We were journaling those thoughts that we keep secret and sacred. And so having your children to journal, that is a beautiful way of knowing that your children are expressing the things that they don't feel confident in speaking about, but they're getting it out. They're putting it into the universe. They're putting it. They're learning how to affirm who they are, what they want. So journaling is a major that you could buy a beautiful journal for your child, or you and them can make it pretty and color it and let them write down. They could write it when they're upset. They could write when they feel good. They can write the first day of the week. They can have a technique for journaling. Efumlayo, one of our teachers, she does a wonderful class on journaling, and she does journaling for children as well. So if you're interested, go to the. You can send me an email requesting that, and we will shoot it over to Efumlayo. And also with the SEW. We have the rites of passage for children as well. And this year, 2013, we're having we had one 2 years ago. We're having a boys' rites of passage and a girls' rites of passage, which I'm very, very excited about, because the rites of passage that we have for children, one of the things that I think sometimes is this encourage parents from sending their children is that the requirement for a child to go through our rites of passage is the adult has to take the classes. Even if the adult does not go through the SEW, they do have to take the classes. The reason for that is when I was living in Jamaica, I did the rites of passage over there 3 times. And one of the times that I did it, it was for Jamaican children, and their parents were staunch believers in another religious system, and they did not want to learn how to pour libation or the value of it and that kind of thing. And so that particular group we had some very traumatic experiences when the children went home and tried to connect to spirit. Their parents told them, you can't do that kind of witchcraft on my house and that kind of thing. So I stopped. And so for that reason, the parents have to take the classes. Sometimes the parents feel that I'm not going to invest the time and the money of taking these classes, because each class is $45, there's 7 classes for myself, and then to allow my child to go through rites of passage. And so some people don't feel that that's a worthy investment. For me, if your child is going somewhere, you should know exactly what they're going to go through, mm-hmm. what they're going to express before they go through it. And so when they come home, you can have a clear understanding and you can support them in this new person and this new child. So I am so excited this year that we have 4 girls and 4 boys that are going through the rites of passage, and we do not put them through rites of passage at the same time. We have the boys going through with men, and we have the girls going through with women. Because one year we tried that, and that was not good to go through with teenagers. And so it's a beautiful thing. So the FCW is something, I mean, the children's rites of passage is beautiful. It starts, the children start at 12 up to 18. And it's a beautiful, beautiful experience for them to learn how to connect the spirit. The last group that we had, both girls had challenges with connecting to their fathers who had abandoned them. And that was amazing how both of them just bonded so well. They did very, very well. And they're, today they're doing very well in high school and really have passed that pain that they were mm-hmm. going through and that kind of thing. Really are very, very grounded in, you know, knowing who they are and knowing that their parents' choices and that type of thing should not and could not stop them from attaining what it is that they want to attain. So that I feel very proud about, those 2 little young ladies that went through it. So it's from 12 going on 13 to 18 years old, and I'm really, really looking forward to this, because these are parents who really are committed. They have taken the classes, and they are ready for their children to be grounded in spirit, to know that on certain days of the week, your children wake up and they know, I have a test, I'm going to put on a certain color, I'm going to do a meditation, I'm going to pour a libation, I'm going to ace this test. That is a beautiful thing to have for a child that's in middle school or in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's very, very powerful to give them the tools that they can cope with bullying and stress and peer pressure, all of those things that we have had such a success story on that. And when my new website go up, you'll be able to go there and see some of the testimonials of many of the children that have been through rites of passage over the year with us. So I'm really excited about that this year. But definitely any child that has special gifts or talents or hears spirits or sees spirits should definitely go through rites of passage, so that they can understand that this part of their life, they're going to be able to use it when they get a roommate in college, and they see things and how to address it and how to deal with it, how to change their rooms in the college, how to put the vibration so that they're in charge. There's so mm-hmm. many things that your children will get that they'll be able to be going off in their life prepared with the tools. That it doesn't matter how many degrees you have, how many doctorates you have, we never give children skills on how to survive spiritually.
Okay. We mm-hmm. have about a little under 6 minutes left, and you have a call coming in. I will pull up the mic. Caller 256-288, you're on the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Your question or comment? Hello, caller 256-288. You're on the air. Caller. Okay. Maybe they pushed the one by mistake and they really didn't have a question. That's fine. If you can probably explain, I know you talked about the journaling for adults, and you did for children, like when we used to write down certain things, that was journaling. How do you suggest a parent get a child into it, especially boys? Girls love writing things down, the boy they liked, if he handed them their pencil or picked up their book. You know, we love to write about things like that. But how would you suggest someone get their male child involved in writing in a journal?
I think that once they'll explain the value of journaling, and like I said, Funlayo does a wonderful class for children, an exceptional class for children, on the value of journaling, and the child could see her on Skype, so it's not like he's talking to some strange lady. Doing that workshop, that would help. However, if that's not the choice that you want to make in giving them a class, have a male that is in the child's life.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them from the male perspective as to the importance of getting their feelings out. You need to talk to a man that is not coming from a perspective that, oh, a boy should not cry. Real men don't let people know their feelings. We don't want that male. You want to be in touch with someone who the child can identify as a, not so much as a role model, but someone that they can at least listen to. I think also get your child involved with male writers. Writers, it escapes me now, that is really, anyway. The last show that we did, ask the parent, the person that's listening to it, go back into archives and the class, the workshop that we did in October with Emma Rogers and Ashira Toshiwe of Black Images Books. We have a list of authors for both male and female students or children who would be able to embrace reading and writing. So go into archives and listen to that, the one on children and how to encourage your children who have special needs as well as children to embrace reading. I think that would be my intention there. Also, children mimic what they see the parents doing, whether it's a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
The parent takes their journal, they write a journal that they're going to call my evening journal, and every evening they sit down with their child, and this young man journals how his day went. And the mother or father journal as well, how their day went, and they can talk about it. And then the next day, by the fifth time, the child will be saying, Mommy or Daddy, don't forget we need to journal tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find them journaling when you are not even in the rhythm anymore with them. But keep that going for at least 21 days. Any new action that we want to put in place, do it for 21 days. Get them a notebook, one you and decorate it together, do something like that, and then you're able to enter it because the child will do it because you're doing it. Readers, children who read, it's because parents are readers. They mimic everything that you're doing. So if you have a child that's 14 that is like, oh, man, that's old square. So, no, we want to discuss this. Okay, what did you do? Today was okay. What was happening? That was a, they'll start out like that. But as you discuss how your day was with them, then they will open up and they will journal. Because people are people. Spirit is spirit. Energy is energy. It just depends on what we're telling ourselves and our minds. So if you tell a young man that boys don't journal, then they will not. But if you said definitely and get definitely involved with male writers, I'm still trying to figure, remember what is his name. It'll come to me. But anyway, get them involved with the type of subject matter that they like. Whatever it is that they're interested in, find male writers and know that this was a writer. He was a journaler. This is what a book is a journal of someone else's thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a couple, we have only a few seconds left, but you do have a couple of comments in the chat room where
okay,
people said,
give me the comments.
They like the journaling idea, and one lady says she reads with her daughter all the time. And mm-hmm. when you were talking, you said that someone said that is so true.
Great, great. So go back and listen in archives while you're just chilling out and listen to the topic. Emma Rogers and Ashira Toshiwe have been in business for 30 years as the first owners of the biggest black bookstore in Dallas, Texas. They're now both retired from it. But they had insight, and they were calling off names of authors and support groups, and you can send them information. They will be love to give you. So go back in archives and do it. It was a powerful, powerful show. Some people
yeah.
said they couldn't find it, so I'm going to put it up again on Facebook so that we will find it. Again, thank you all for being a part of this wonderful, wonderful experience of Ask Yaya Fini Show, and look for the new things coming up. I have coming up again. My Teaching Tuesdays will be back with my videos on Tuesdays, and I'm starting a blog and my new website every Monday called Meaningful Monday, and you will be able to go in there and speak to me directly on some of the subject matters from my book as well as some of my other things that I'm doing that has to do with empowering you to start your week off. So there are a lot of new things coming up with Yaya Fini. Thank you so much for the support, the love. I've been getting emails as we speak. That everyone is enjoying the show. Continue to send me energy. Pray for me and my family that we will continue to be well and that I will be able to continue to do God's work. So thank you very, very much. I give thanks and have a blessed, blessed, blessed evening.
Thank you very much, Yaya Fini. Have a great evening. And family, have a blessed week.
Thank you, Ruby.